AS, this is AST Radio.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to a new episode of AST Presents. This is your host, Arden Sports Talk here. I hope all is well with you. It's been a pretty good week for me since the last time we spoke. Just want to say thank you to those, once again, that's been checking out any of the new content that has been sharing with you guys, whether it's the new episodes of AST Presents, the YouTube videos, AST Radio, just anything, man. You already know on a weekly basis and trying to create and release to you guys new content. And you guys have been checking it out, and I appreciate the feedback whenever you guys are giving it. And for this week, sorry for the, if you hear me like swallowing or doing whatever, I actually was just drinking water. I was just playing basketball this morning as a workout. But yeah, for this week, though, in terms of announcements, of course, new episode of AST Presents right here. What else? New YouTube videos are coming this week. One of them in particular, Emmanuel Madey versus D'Angelo Russell. I'm going to be talking about those two in terms of what to expect this rookie season. Then it's going to be a part of a weekly thing I'm going to do just heading into the NBA season. Or maybe I'll do it during the NBA season, which is, you know, over highlights of a particular player or team. I'll just share with you my thoughts on what's going on with them or what's going on in the league. But who knows? But either way, I got that video coming out. I'm definitely going to try to do something with the footage that I took when I was attending the USA Basketball Youth Coach Academy last weekend. It was pretty cool, by the way. I told you guys this during one of the episodes of AST Presents. It was actually the one with Damon Alter, basketball trainer from Virginia. It was pretty fun, man. It was a lot of fun. I was able to talk to and meet the NBA Deputy Commissioner Mark Tatum. I was able to meet NBA Hall of Famer and current St. John's coach Chris Mullin. And then, of course, I was just able to learn about the game from just people who are accomplished individuals in the basketball world, you know, that have played, that have coached, that are just successful. And, of course, meet new people, man. So, again, it was a great experience. I have most of the clips. I have to try to recover a few clips. I have to see if Apple lets you recover some deleted clips. But so either way, that's what's going on with me, man. And today's guest that's going to be on the show, it's going to be a really cool guest, man. I'll probably say this interview is going to be the coolest interview I've done to date. Not trying to demean the other interviews I've done, whether it's on my show or on other people's shows, because I'm very grateful for the fact that I was able to talk to those people. I was very grateful for the fact that if they invited me onto their show, it was definitely nice. But today's interview, I think, is going to be the coolest because of the fact of the circumstances around this interview. And I guess it's actually on the line. I'm about to let him on the air to start our interview. But the reason why I think this interview is going to be great, even though I've done plenty of great interviews, whether it's on my shows or on other shows, like I said before, I'm very grateful for him, is because of the fact that this is somebody I actually went to school with. And not just school with, I went to middle school with. You know, we both went to the same middle school. You know, Alba Leonard Middle School in Westchester County, graduated the same year. We weren't necessarily, you know, not trying to make it seem like, yo, we were best friends or good friends, but when you go to school, right, you're going to see everybody, and you're going to see people that even if you don't talk to a lot, they become recognizable faces. And I think this interview is going to be really cool for you guys to listen to this, because when years have gone by, and basically it's been, what, 8 years since we've graduated middle school, when you catch up with people, you're either going to find out that they're doing either really good or nothing's changed or they're doing really bad. But this man, this young man is somebody who has extremely, extremely well since those middle school years. Under his nickname Neo Green Spark, he has created a YouTube channel based off of his love for animation and video games that has gathered over 20,000 subscribers and over 6 million views on YouTube. And this man's been able to travel the world, meet other people in that field. And again, this is somebody who I went to middle school with, which is pretty cool to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the audience of AST Presents, please welcome Chris Demma. How's everything, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, dude? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Can't complain. It's been a while. How's everything with you?
Yeah, man. You know, it's kind of funny. When you were talking about the intro, you just got me feeling really nostalgic and thinking back, and it's like, dang, has it really been 8 years since the since the days of middle school?
Man.
Oh, God.
Yeah, man.
I'm
funny.
Starting
it's
to sound
to
like all those
about.
People.
It's crazy because, again, man, it was just like I was thinking, I'm like, wow, this is like the first type of interview I'll be doing in terms of interviewing somebody that I know And again, it's going to be interesting because, again, like, we went to middle school together. We both went to Alba Leonard, class of 2007. Mm-hmm. And it's just like mm-hmm. what I said, like, when you catch up with people after quite some time, you're either going to find out that people are doing really well or people, nothing's changed, or they're going to do really bad. But you're doing really well, man. And remember, folks, please follow Chris, by the way, on Twitter at NeoGameSpark. His Twitter handle is in the title above. I'm so used to saying in the description below, but his YouTube channel is in the description below, youtube.com/NeoGameSpark. But Chris, let's go ahead and get this started, man.
Sounds good.
Going back to the beginning, man, what basically made you really get into video games, especially, like, you know, animation video games? What really got you into that?
I mean, just like anybody else growing up, you know, my parents one day brought home a Super Nintendo, and I just started playing games from there. And just growing up through the schools, you know, coming home every single day from elementary school, from middle school, you know, just playing a lot of games, bringing the neighbors over. It sort of became like a daily ritual that as soon as you get home from school, get off the bus at 3:37 p.m., everybody meets up at 4, play from 4 to 8, take a break, eat dinner, play again if it was the weekend. So it just started from there, my love for video games, because it was like, I mean, I had all my other recreational activities that I would do. You know, I liked playing sports. You know, I liked reading, as uncool as that was when we were kids. Like, oh, you read? Oh, man.
Yeah, all right.
But video games were always something that, you know, I always fell back on when I couldn't find something else to do, because I could always pop open a new game and play something. So, you know, it's just something that kind of transitioned from me being a kid. And as I got older, I noticed I'm playing a whole lot more than before, which is really weird because you get older, you have more responsibilities, but you somehow find a way to balance everything. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, it's funny that you said that too, because, you know, again, for me as a kid, playing a lot of video games, I remember for me, my first system was the PlayStation 1. I remember having a PlayStation 1. At 6 years old, I'm trying to think of what was the game I used to play back in the day. NBA In the Zone. That was the game. NBA In the Zone, NBA 99, playing that a lot. Then having the Dreamcast, then PlayStation 2, then finally getting the PS3, then the PS4. Now I'm rocking with the Xbox One. But one thing
how
I really want to talk to you about, hey, man, it's been so far so good for me. It's not messing up my math skills. But the one thing I just want to talk to you about is when it comes to your video games, the fact that you're into animation video games. And I'm not trying to make it seem like, you know, nobody really plays it, but most people that I know and maybe some people that you know, people are really into sports games. You know, like for me, I'm into sports games, NBA 2K, Madden, FIFA, whatever. Then there's people who are into the shooting games, the Call of Duties, the Halos. You're into animation like Kingdom Hearts, like, why is it that particular games interest you the most?
I mean, yeah, like going back to it, it's kind of hard for me to pinpoint why I got interested in those because everything came by chance. Kingdom Hearts, for example, is a series that, you know, looking at it at first glance, you know, it's not realistic, you know, it's somewhat cartoony in the sense that, you know, they're Disney characters mixing with like the Final Fantasy characters and everything. So it's kind of hard to pinpoint why I was drawn into that outside of like just seeing a commercial on TV. And I was like, hey, that looks like an interesting game. So it was something that kind of caught me off guard because there was really nothing like it at the time. So I started playing it. I really got engrossed in the story. Kingdom Hearts has a very complicated and somewhat convoluted story that's been going on for, 13 years now. So I got into those games because, you know, I fell in love with the gameplay and the characters, and that's kind of what transitioned me into, you know, loving the series and actually starting my YouTube channel. That was one of the main pillars, but, to go back to your question on, what is it about, you know, anime video games and stuff. It's definitely something that's not really talked about much over here because, you know, the only people who would play an anime video game like a Dragon Ball Z or Naruto are people who like Dragon Ball Z or Naruto. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just watching those shows on TV and I heard they got a video game, it's like, oh, wow, I totally have to play that because this is the closest I'm going to get to going Super Saiyan. Please, somebody go Super Saiyan. But, yeah, so it was a combination of not really knowing to what expect when I went into it or – you know, having a, you know, already established love for the medium, in this case, Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, and I'm happy that you said that because the TV shows, a lot of people watch. So Dragon Ball Z, in terms of watching it, yes, a lot of people watch Dragon Ball Z. And a lot of people mm-hmm. do watch anime, you know, so that there's definitely a big audience for that. But it was just the video games that was just something where it's like you never really seen. And I want to give credit to you because when I rediscovered you last year, you know, seeing you on YouTube and Instagram and I saw your videos and that led me to these conventions and things like that, I'm like, wow, there's a really big audience for this. Like people really love these type of things. And it's and this is basically going to lead to my next question, which is, you know, creating the YouTube channel back then and fast-forwarding many years later, you know, are you surprised by the success of your YouTube channel? Because, again, you have over 20,000 subscribers, 6 million-plus views. I'm pretty sure when you started it, it was just more of, I just want to talk about this particular game, and I just want to express my opinion. I'm pretty sure you, unless you thought so, I mean, hey, then kudos to you, but I'm pretty sure you never thought, like, wow, like, this is what it's going to turn into.
Oh, no, dude. Yeah, it's totally a different... It, like, still to this day, it never ceases to amaze me, you know, how far I've come and how much time has passed. I mean, because I was involved with YouTube from the very early days, like 2005, 2006. Didn't start my own channel up until, like, 2007, 8, around that period of time. And back then, you know, I was a kid in middle school, in early high school. And, you know, this concept of YouTube was always interesting to me because it was something that has never really been done before, a video sharing website community where people, anyone with a camera can get on there, talk about what they want to talk about, record whatever they want to record, and, you know, they could grow an audience. And for me, it was never really about, oh, I want to, you know, be well known. I want to have my name up there and people know who I am. It was more about, hey, I like this game and not a lot of my friends like this game, so let me get on the internet and see if there are people who like this game as well, because that's how it was. I mean, I had my circle of friends who, you know, like Naruto and Dragon Ball Z, but their I guess their affection for it kind of stopped after the show, and they never really got into the games like I did. And same thing with Kingdom Hearts and all these other you know, niche Japanese titles. So I was like, you know, I'm feeling kind of lonely, let me get on here. And I started uploading some videos, and surprisingly enough, people were like, oh man, I love this game too. And so we just started talking. And then from there and there, you know, being able to meet so many people with similar interests. Still to this day, I'm talking to folks from, oh man, back in 2007, that's coming up on, you know, 8 years of, you know, friendships growing that started from something like this, an anime video game. And it's just, it never ceases to amaze me, you know, how far things have come.
The name Neo Game Spark, how did you come up with that?
Oh, man, this it's funny because, to be honest, I don't even know how I came up with this. The only thing I recall was that I think 2012 instead of 2008. Oh, my God. Oh, so old. But a couple of years ago, you know, when I first started this thing, I was talking to a couple of my friends and, you know, we were interested in video games. So it's like, hey, maybe we can do like a game show that, you know, X-Play does or IGN or something like that. But we need a name. We need something that people will know. And this is before, you know, the big boom of YouTube around like 2010, around that period where everybody was getting involved. So when you wanted to create something, you can't have really an ambiguous name that no one's going to know about. So if you're talking about video games, you want to have game in the title. So I was thinking game what? Game this, game that. So I started thinking and suddenly Spark just came to me. I was like, Spark. All right, let's go Spark. Unfortunately, Game Spark as a show title was already taken. So we had to put something in front of it. And I was like, I guess I was watching The Matrix at the time and Neo came on and I'm like, all right, Neo Game Spark, there we go. it has no real relevance to like me as a person, because I know some people like to bring in their characteristics into their title name. For me, it was just like, dude, we need a cool game show name that isn't taken. Okay, let's go with that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It rolls off the tongue. It rolls off the tongue extremely well. Neo Game Spark, boom, just like that, all together. No space in between. And again, you've been playing video games for a long time. I've been playing video games for a long time. I mean, we're still young guys, but even then, we are seeing this based on our age, basically 15, at least 15 years of the video game evolution. You know, on your side, so I definitely want to get your perspective. I'll share my perspective, somebody that played sports video games all his life. What is your perspective when you look at the evolution of the anime video game series?
When it comes to anime video games, going back to what I said, you know, it comes from Japan, and anime as a whole is still a very niche thing. You know, people know about it if you're interested in, like, video games. And, of course, everyone's heard of Dragon Ball Zs and the Pokemons and the Narutos and such. But anime is still pretty niche. It's not something that you would see on, you know, everyday TV. Not everybody's talking about it. So when they were making video games for it in Japan, they really didn't go out of their way to make them anything crazy. Like, you would see a Call of Duty that has, you know, massive marketing geared toward, you know, so mm-hmm. many developers working on it. So anime has always been more of a smaller niche thing, just to say, hey, we have a video game based off this series, you know, come out and buy it. But what we've noticed in the past couple of years is that with the newer consoles and, you know, the capabilities that it affords developers, we've been seeing a lot more expansive anime games like the Dragon Ball Z games and Naruto, because those are the two biggest series out. You know, we're seeing these games, you know, with 1080p visuals, with huge amounts of characters in the rosters, you know, just things that you would never have expected like 10 plus years ago, because they realized that there is a market for these sort of games, because while anime fans are small in, I guess, awareness, they're very vocal about things. So, you know, you could put out a game, have no advertising, no marketing, and the anime fans will buy it because they know it's based off their series. So we've seen a lot more focus on the games nowadays. They're becoming bigger, they're becoming better, and, you know, it just, I guess, comes with the territory.
You know, for me, man, just being a sports video game fan, the evolution of even just sports itself is incredible, because, again, just starting to play sports video games, again, going back to 1999 and 2000 and playing NBA in the Zone and playing NBA Live and things like that. For us, I think, as sports fans, it's always the graphics, the gameplay. So for us, it's really more about the gameplay, because we want to feel as if we're in the game. This is the closest we're ever going to be to an NBA basketball court or to an NFL field. And now to think, 15 years later, you're playing NBA 2K, and it's like, wow, I'm really in control of, let's say, LeBron James. Like, I could do this move, and I could do that, and I could play defense this way, and the graphics. So there's been so many times, dude, you know, because I work with kids and stuff, where I've played video games with kids, and their parents will come in, and of course their parents are like in their late 30s and 40s, and they go, are you guys watching the game? Oh my goodness, you're playing the Xbox. You know, you're playing the Xbox, and I didn't know.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's just the graphics and the gameplay has become so real, and it's also a testament to technology in terms of the many things that it has done with the face scans. And that's one thing I want to know, too, because for sports, I know how it works in terms of, okay, you want players to look the way they look, you bring in the players to your studio. So if you're EA Sports, you bring guys down to Orlando, Florida, you do a face scan, and you get them or paid athletes to do the movements, and then you do the rest, right? For anime, especially for these games that have to do with a lot of fighting or a lot of movement, how are they able to replicate real-life movement? Like, what is it? What is the behind-the-scenes in terms of making those games work?
Well, as far as anime video games go, there's not really too much work done in that front. They don't do any motion capture. They don't do anything crazy as they do with the sports games because, you know, all this stuff it's not real. So the things that you would see pull off in, like, these anime, it's not real, so they don't have anything to draw from. But what I will counter that to make this answer somewhat salvageable is the video game industry, you know, like you've seen in Madden, they've been doing a lot of that. They've been doing a lot of motion capture. Specifically for, I'm going to draw attention to this one game. It's called The Last of Us. It came out in 2013. You know, one of the biggest critical successes in all of video games, you know, great reviews, fantastic game across the board. They really worked extensively with the motion capture for that because when it came down to it, you know, you were in this post-apocalyptic setting where every little detail counts to immersing you in this experience. Because you remember back in the day when we were playing with, you know, athletes that had square fingers and all that, you know.
It didn't bother us
back then because, hey, we're playing a video game about this. Nowadays, since we're seeing these things that are so realistic, it's not necessarily how good they look, but the little intricacies of, you know, how LeBron is when he goes down the court. And in the case of The Last of Us, you know, the facial captures, you know, the little nuances that really immerse you in the experience. So as far as that goes, it's really astonishing to see how far the video game industry has come, because when you consider the industry, it's one of the youngest mediums. It only started, if you want to get into specifics, back in the 80s. So it's around 30 years old, and all this new stuff like facial capture, motion capture, that didn't start really taking off until the past five, six, ten decade or so. So it's just phenomenal to see where, how far we've come in such a short amount of time.
I'm happy you said that, because when you brought up again, you know, how we're really into now the little intricacies and stuff, I actually have always been into that with sports games, even going back to the beginning. You know, for me, just being, you know, of course, growing up as a fan, still a fan, but now somebody that could be looked at as part of the media and things like that, I just know the little things. So, like, playing games, even now, it'll bother me if I see them make a player look a certain way that they shouldn't look. Like, again, like, okay, you gave this player a wristband when I know he wears an elbow pad. You made him wear these type of cleats, but he wears this type of cleats. He throws a certain way, but he doesn't really throw that way. So, again, it's really true what you're saying, because I think sports fans now, we're really particular in those type of games, because, again, it's, when you're making these things so realistic and motion capture has made it, it's like, this game better be realistic. Like, it needs to be that way, you know? So I completely agree with you, and that's why I really want to say 2K Sports, I love you. EA Sports and Madden, I love you, because it be lit when I be playing those games, and I feel like I'm a part of the game, and I realize it's just a video game. But
yeah, it's crazy. It goes back to what EA Sports was playing, like, way back when. You remember this, when you would load up the game, and it was like, EA Sports, it's in the game.
Yep.
And we've gotten to a point 10 years later where you are actually in the game. I think, you know, I don't play too many of the sports games, but, you know, I think with the new consoles on PlayStation and Xbox, with the cameras they have, can't they scan your face in, and that is actually your player?
Yep.
So it's insane how far we've come, my Lord.
Yeah, man, 2K has something where, you know, if you have the Kinect, you could, it's like a face scan, and you have to scan your face in different positions. NBA Live actually has something where there's an app where you can scan your face on your phone and through your account with EA, it would translate into the game, which is pretty sick. So, again, there's all these things. And the thing is, though, EA's actually always been ahead of the curve on that, because I remember even like 5 years ago in their account, you could take a picture of your face on their computer, and it's like, just put it in there. So they always done that. It's just now with the iPhones and the Androids and things like that, you're just able to really do it through your phone and more. But just to talk about, you know, recent times now, again, you know, you throughout the years, you're making these videos, you're making a name for yourself, and now I've seen the fact that, again, you've been able to travel a bit. You've been able to meet fellow bloggers. And just to clarify, is it fair to call you a video game blogger? Is it fair to call you that, or do you call yourself something else?
I mean, I know a lot of people get particular about labels of things. Oh, no, call me this, call me that. I'm just a YouTuber who happens to blog about video games. So, you know, video game blogger, YouTuber, which I'm a man of many hats, I guess.
Yes. All right. So, tell us your experiences, you know, just share with us, you know, what has it been like the last year or two? Because I've seen, again, you've been able to go to conventions, and you're not only going to conventions as a fan, you've been able to cover conventions as media, you've been able to meet with people in the industry. How has that been like for you?
It's honestly, it's been an incredible experience. I remember the first time I actually covered an event, it was New York Comic Con 2012. So it was about 3 years ago this weekend. And just going there, I was actually representing a good friend of mine, his radio show in California, and being able to go there. And it's just such a different, it's a different experience than simply going there as a fan, because when you're going there as media, you know, obviously you get to do a lot of the things that normal people don't. You get access to a lot of people, VIPs and all that stuff. But the coolest thing about it, to be honest, when you're going there and covering it as media, it's just the connections that you're able to make. being able to talk with certain individuals, you know, who are responsible for creating some of the things that we really do love. We were speaking to, you know, a lot of actors who were there. We were talking to the guys who were from Machinima. They did the Red versus Blue series, and they also do another series now. So being able to talk to them and network with them is honestly the most fun part about it, because you realize at the end of the day, you know, these are just people who happen to have similar interests as you. So at first I thought it'd be very intimidating. You know, it's just this random guy from New York going up there and talking to these, you know, high profile figures who, you know, people like IGN or, you know, other networks talk to. It just felt so strange. But when you realize at the end of the day that, you know, what you've done so far afforded you the opportunity to get this far, then you really have nothing to worry about. So it's been an awesome experience just going there as media and just meeting a lot of people. And it's also helped me grow as an individual, because it's definitely got me out of my comfort zone, because we all like to say, oh, you know, me, myself and I'm so comfortable with talking to people and getting out here and being on camera, which I love to do. I'm so comfortable being on camera. I'm so comfortable talking about this. But it's a totally different scenario when you're going there and you're interviewing people. So you start having to work your brain a little bit differently, as opposed to just getting on here and recording a video for entertainment. You know, you have to ask those thought-provoking questions. You have to know how to lead into them. You have to know, you know, how to just conversate, which is something I was good with before. But after this, I realized that I do need to work on that to keep it going and make everything that much more enjoyable. So, you know, it's a learning experience. And I advise to a lot of people who, you know, have a YouTube following, and they want to go to these conventions and cover them as media, I'd say definitely do it. There's no harm in doing that. And it's nothing but beneficial towards you, because, you know, let's say you're at this convention and you find someone who you really like, but a lot of people just are not aware for whatever reason. Talk with them, get them on camera, interview with them, because you literally never know what people are going to be looking for. Maybe the week after, that dude blows up and he gets involved in like a very famous production. And then when people go to look at him on YouTube, they're going to see your interview with him. And then by association, your other videos, and maybe you've earned yourself a new subscriber. So definitely just get out there, do what you got to do. And more importantly, just have fun with it. Having fun is the most important part. I mean, you can get into the metrics of growing your YouTube channel and analyses and when to upload here and there. That's all important, but if you're not having fun, you're going to be working yourself into an early grave.
Absolutely, man. I'm happy that you brought that up in terms of with the interviews, which is, and it really goes to what I've been telling people, and it's a belief that I go with, especially, again, with covering sports, because, you know, over the last couple of years, I've been able to make progress in terms of doing a ton of interviews on my shows, having journalists, bloggers, athletes, whatever on my show or even on their shows, which is you just have to be open to talking to people. And instead of making it feel like an interview, try to make it like a conversation, because that even makes you more comfortable more than anything, because you can get your questions out there. And, of course, it keeps the, you know, the interviewee loose and things like that. And it also comes to what you also said, too, about the fact that, hey, you know, you never know who you could be talking to, so be open to that, you know. I was actually talking to a couple of people because I was at the New York Knicks Media Day last week, and there was, like, you know, of course, throwing out the big names, you know, the Carmelo or Chris Paps, things like that, and it was like, why you didn't ask them, like, a lot of questions? Because I'm like, when you're in a room with so many different type of outlets and things like that, they're always going to go for the bigger outlets, whereas why compete with them, whereas with these quote-unquote lesser players, I can just get questions with them because I know they're going to go after me every single time. So that's more questions for me, more exposure for them and myself, and it just makes a ton of sense at the end of the day. So I'm very happy that you said that. And before I let you go, man, once again, just looking back at what you've done with YouTube and the things that you can do, what do you think the future lays for you, man? Because, again, you've been able to be successful so far. It's been a great thing to watch. You know, what does the future hold for Neo GameSpark?
To be honest, the future, I always used to say, well, I take things day by day and just going to live in the moment. But the more I started thinking about it, the older I got, you kind of have to start just not necessarily planning things 10 years out, but you have to lay the groundwork each and every day. So you have to make sure that you're always giving your 100% and you're taking advantage of every single opportunity that comes your way. Because what I've realized is the more time you have off and you think about, oh, I'm just going to relax here and not do that or push it off, you know, that kind of does hurt you, not only as a person, but, you know, with your brand. You know, the most important thing at the end of the day is to not necessarily grow your channel. It's to grow you as an individual. Uh-huh. And whether that means getting people to know you personally, getting people to know your quality of your videos, or just you becoming a better individual. That is the most important part of it all. And I mean, there have been days where, you know, I'm just spending all this time, you know, editing videos and re-recording videos because I just feel like, oh man, that's not good. That's not great at all. And I always look at myself and I'm thinking, wow, I wasted 2 hours and I have almost nothing to show for it. But that's a part of the process, you know, struggling and tripping over yourself and falling and always feeling like, you know, I'm not as good as I should be, because that gets you to push yourself farther. And, you know, that's what I've been, that mindset I've been adopting over the past couple of months, you know, just to do whatever you can, you know, reach out to whatever, you know, amount of people that you can, because at the end of the day, you know, we're not judged by how we started in this life. We're judged by how far we go. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, you know, unfortunately, they don't think that way. They're just thinking of X, Y, Z instead of, you know, thinking in the grand scheme of things. So my goal is, you know, just keep doing what I'm doing and go farther. And the dream right now is to actually fly out to next year's E3 in California. That's what the dream is right now. You know, hoping to get approved and cover that event. That's like my next big milestone. But yeah, till then, just, you know, keep refining my craft and, you know, just helping and influencing as many people as I can.
Chris, with the way you're going, man, I could definitely tell you're going to be there one of those days. Hopefully it is next year. But who would have thought, man? Two kids, I went to the same little school. I have my own radio show covering sports. You're a successful YouTuber. It's funny how life works, man. But thank you once again for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me on the show, man.
Absolutely, man. No problem. Let's definitely meet up soon. And, folks, please follow Chris on Twitter, at NeoGameSpark. His Twitter handle is in the title above. And, of course, please subscribe to his YouTube channel, especially to my video gamers out there. YouTube.com/NeoGameSpark, man. Thanks once again, Chris. I'll talk to you next time.
All right. Take it easy, man.
All right. You too. All right, folks. And that's today's interview on ASC Presents. Thank you for listening. Definitely a great one. Like I told you before, it's probably my coolest one. This is somebody who I went to middle school with. Haven't seen or spoken to since that time because I moved after, like, I think my freshman year in high school. And to talk to him and see it since then, the guy's doing really well, became a successful YouTuber, just doing his thing, and of course he's making moves, and you see me over here just trying to do what I do. But other than that, man, that's today's interview. Thank you for listening. Like I told you before, man, expect some new content this week on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/KingArden23. I got two new videos coming out. Thinking about doing an episode of AST Radio, I'm not so sure, but you could definitely bank on the two new YouTube videos coming out, man. But other than that, man, stay focused, stay blessed. I'll talk to you guys next time. Peace.